B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run. B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run. All we need is a 10 and a 5 or a car and a key and a sober driver. B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run.
Welcome to the Beer Run, part of the BS and Beer family, the only Saints podcast with a 2-drink minimum and takes as bad as overreacting to preseason games.
That's a joke, boy. You missed it. Went right past you. You gotta keep on your toes. Put toes at it.
I'm the California Cajun. With me, as always, is my partner, Little Dice. How you doing, brother?
What up, Craig? Man, we made it to the football season. It's here.
Almost. Well, almost.
Listen, this weekend, there will be college football. And I'm particularly interested in one game. And that's the Duquesne versus Florida State, because LSU has them next week in the Dome, September 4th. The Dome's going to be rocking. It's going to be amazing, bro.
Wait, so Florida State is LSU's opener, yes, in New Orleans, but they get a tune-up game before, and it's going to be our first game?
So
we
call this weekend week zero in college football.
That's lame.
That's lame.
I mean, Florida State gets a chance to work out all the kinks, exactly, and then we got to go in cold. That's not right.
Last year, UCLA had the same benefit, because they had a week zero game. Well. And then we went out there, and we got our head caved in, you know. But yeah, that's the benefit. You just gotta plan your schedule out a little bit better. Maybe we could have put Southern first.
What did Roger Goodell make this schedule? Like, he's just finding a way to kick Louisiana a little bit.
Yeah, it seems like it, huh? But yeah, we probably should have just scheduled Southern a little bit earlier and had our week zero game too. You know.
Yeah, I think we should just load up Tulane every year to start the season.
There you go.
I'd be trained.
Well, you know how we do on a beer run, man. We're going to talk about some beer. We got some Saints news. We're going to tell you about our takeaways from the game. And, of course, we're going to look at the upcoming game, Friday night versus the Chargers, and give you our thoughts on that thing, man. So, referees, get out there. Spot the ball. Let's get this thing going.
First down, Saints.
All right, Craig, what you drinking, bruh?
Okay. All right. I'm getting the hints of the Oktoberfest vibe going on. So I've got here, it's a Southern beer. All right. Don't get me wrong. This is from Tin Roof. This is in Baton Rouge. Right. The Bavarian Nights Oktoberfest Marzen style lager. And it is not at all my type of beer, but I'm feeling the Oktoberfest vibe. So I'm going to lean into the German stuff for a little while. Knew some of this stuff. The real question, though, and how you judge a beer, because taste is only so important, is how does it sound? I mean, I think it sounds pretty good. It's a heavy, manly sound, you know? You don't want to pick a fight with this beer.
So are you feeling these vibes because, you know, maybe the weather is kind of chilled out a little bit?
You know what? It's 85 degrees outside, so I'm not going to go ahead and say the weather's chilled. I think I'm just mentally, my internal clock is ready for another beer-related holiday, so I'm already shifting into fall beer drinking Saints excuse to overindulge and be an idiot.
Okay, well, it's kind of chill here, feeling the fall vibes. It probably hadn't gotten over, like, I don't know, 85 here in about 2 weeks. I'm loving this. So
I hate you. Well, at least I get to watch the Saints on TV, so I'm still taking the W down here in the beautiful state of Louisiana.
I have my ways, all right? All right, well, I am going to be drinking good old-fashioned Budweiser because I lost the beer bet.
Foreshadowing.
And we will get into that later on, but I will give you the pop of the top. If it's garbage or not, we're still going to do it.
Hey, that was a good one.
All right. And I will,
that was a good
I will
one.
Get my pour
on. You don't have to edit that one out.
You know, just so it's ready to go when it's time to pay up of my bet, you know, because I'm that guy.
Get a little bit flat, make sure it goes down a little smoother.
So we'll see.
Second down.
Let's get into some news. And we're not going to start off with Saints news. No. We're going to start off.
Yeah, some people argued with this.
We're going to start off with some Bucks news, okay? Because the Bucks guard Aaron Steeney, he's going to be out for the season with a torn ACL, MCL. Mm. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the curse of Craig.
Now, I think it was on this show where I talked about how that O-line was deteriorating and falling apart. And then from that moment on, they've been dropping like flies. Their center's down, then the guard's down, another tackle has got an oblique injury. You know, all respect to the voodoo king Don Bobo, but it sounds like I got the little certain dark magic going on right now. Man, their O-line is so depleted, they've been leaving me voicemails.
Lift the curse, Craig. Lift the curse.
I'll lift the curse after we beat Tom Brady into retirement in week two. It looks bad. Like, don't get me wrong, our pass rush has not looked good in the preseason, but I have to believe with Davenport and Jordan out there that this is going to get ugly real fast in week two.
Yeah, I think that's why Tom Brady just took a week off or so and went to go and shoot the Masked Singer, you know, because...
Just got pumped full of as many steroids as possible to try to survive through a couple of weeks without O-line.
Yeah.
Look, I am not celebrating anyone's injury, specifically O-linemen. I know what they have to go through. It's brutal. It's tough. No, you know, as a player myself, I feel for everybody who gets hurt in this game. But it couldn't have happened to a worse team, and I'm just going to let it play out.
Yeah, this is not us celebrating the injury of the player. This is
not
us celebrating the demise of the Bucks and Tom Brady. So we will enjoy
it. I, for one, will like to respectfully leave some flowers on that grave site.
There you go. All right, let's get into Saints news. And Jameis is back full practice, but four of the five offensive linemen were missing from practice. What the hell?
So a lot of it's rest. And it's really only like 4.5 because Penning and Hurst are splitting time anyway.
Well.
So, I mean, it's not like everybody's banged up. The only one who's hurt right now is Hurst, and he's got that boot on, but they don't think it's serious. They're just trying to keep him in bubble wrap until week one. I don't expect any of them to be on an injury list week one. It's a lot of precautionary stuff. This practice.
I mean, the Bucks don't have their own, you know, curse of Craig or something like that on us, huh?
No, our guys are – we got that magic Bama dust getting sprinkled around. Everyone who's sitting out now is precautionary. The only one that makes me nervous is Michael Thomas because, God, I just want to see him on the field again so bad.
Enough.
But as far as the O-line, I'm not worried about that. No big injuries, you know, knock on wood, God forbid. We're looking pretty healthy between those guys. The depth scares me, but the health doesn't. I'm not worried about the guys not practicing today. Like I said, man, it's a pummel. It's brutal. It is not easy on your body to play in the trenches. So, you know, guys get days off.
Well, speaking of Mike Thomas, he's out with a hamstring injury.
Oh, no. There's a man down.
Are we concerned about that?
It should be minor. Dennis Allen did say that when the season started, he should be ready to go.
And Pete Warner still with the groin injury that lasting, you know, 2 months. I'm telling you, he's going to get the surgery. Watch it. You just watch it.
Hey.
But no, he was back like on the sideline working on the side. And so I guess that's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, he's another guy. I don't think he might not be there week one, but I don't think it's going to be a season kind of thing. I know there's some concern about how those groin injuries can linger. He hasn't shown any reason to think that he's going to be one of those guys that's, you know, out and in, out, in and out, you know. He doesn't seem like he's that kind of injury prone, quote unquote. So until something else gets me concerned, I think this month is going to be pretty temporary.
Well, I heard it was LSU day at practice with all of the big plays that Honey Badger and Juice Landry was making.
For you, every day is LSU day, Dale.
Listen, if you want to be a good team, get some LSU players, I'm telling you. That's all you got to do. Get some LSU players.
Yeah, you think that the Lions or Browns would crack that code because you're the only one who knows it, I guess.
They've been getting some LSU players, so.
Oh, and they're the Browns. So that's interesting. Do you want to? Would you like the Saints to be the Browns?
Deshaun Watson, who's going to be out 11 games, so you know,
Interesting. So you're trying to say that the team that gets LSU players makes bad decisions.
I'm just saying you get good players when you get them from LSU. That's all I'm saying. Mm. Decision making has nothing to do with the players that are on the team there, and you know they can't bring in the other guys. You know, so.
I mean, Carolina has a couple guys from LSU. Are they a good team?
Carolina has what? One guy from LSU, and.
It's only one less than us.
But and then I hear that they may be trying to trade him.
Yeah, he's on the block anyway. Yeah,
Mickey.
There you go. Atlanta has a couple of LSU guys on there. Yeah, you think they're a good team? And they got ones on defense. Yeah, are they a good defense?
A failed clown. So I mean that overrides everything. So.
You know, if my mic wasn't propped up on my desk so comfortably, I would drop it here.
All right. Well, Kirk Merritt, big news, is working out at running back, and so he's sort of like a Ty Montgomery clone or something like this. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, maybe. I think it's kind of a Hail Mary to see if there's a way to keep him on the roster because he showed some good stuff, but wide receiver is just so stacked, you know, which is amazing that we said that considering what we were last year. But it's just so deep where the bottom of the roster guys are all guys who have done it in the league, you know, like even the lower echelon, like you got what Traquan Smith, who's done it and scored touchdowns. Marquez Callaway, who's scored touchdowns and been the number one guy for a season. I mean, even the bottom of the receiver group is still strong and there's still guys that have done it. So, yeah, I mean, running back is thin. You know, maybe you're not committed on guys who are going to make the team on special teams. Maybe Washington's not that guy. You know, try to see if you can fit him on the roster somewhere. I don't think it's anything real. I don't think he makes a team, but it's a Hail Mary. It's a try. It's an attempt to keep a talented player in the building.
Well, the wide receiver position is kind of, you know, rounding out form because the Saints put Kevin White on IR.
No, Saints legend, I mean, Kevin White. No.
Like a play or two this last game too. So.
That's what it took. It took the second preseason game in his fifth year in the NFL.
And Saints,
man, so one of those guys, just so much potential.
Saints also released Chris Herndon, former fantasy star and, you know, hopeful person, hopeful star at least for a lot of fantasy players. So he's gone.
Oh, sorry, you said fantasy and I dozed off a little bit.
Okay.
See, I should have listened to the Frenemies podcast, and I would have been able to hear all about that.
Because we are dropping fantasy nuggets to help everybody out in your draft. This is draft season. Go out there, have yourself a ball, and draft a good tee.
See, you're trying to lure me in, saying that you're dropping nuggets, because you know, as an O-lineman, I love me some nuggets.
All I knew was sushi. That's all I heard.
I do love sushi. Oh, goodness, I love sushi. I would punch an old lady in the face for some sushi right now.
It's terrible. Hide your grandma's. Hey, we're sending a big shout out to our new partners over at Sports Talk with Friends. We're going to be teaming up with them to bring you some different personalities and points of view. This season is going to be a lot of fun. So go over to their Facebook group. Check them out. Sports Talk with Friends. All right, and Davenport took part in team drill today. That's a big step.
Sit him down. Get him out of there. Don't let anyone touch him until Atlanta.
Davenport's hurt again.
Oh, I knew it. Third down for what?
All right, let's talk about our takeaways from the game because it was a very, very long and boring game. Brutal.
Man, I hate to say that because, you know, because we're a little more dug in than, you know, the quote-unquote casual fan. You know, we know a lot of the bottom roster guys. We're watching a lot of the position battles. And I want to say that it's all interesting because we're still watching it. And it's a dirty lie because, man, that was a drag through part of that. And I think a lot of that is the bottom of the roster O-line. It was terrible. So Ian Book, you know, bless his heart, was out there running around like a dummy looking terrible because his O-line was terrible. And then Obviously, the receivers can't make anything happen because the quarterback can't get him the ball because the quarterback doesn't have time. It's all – oh, it was ugly. It was bad. And fully, completely, in my opinion, it was on the offensive line. Book made some stuff happen, you know. The rookie, yeah. Chris Olave, looked really good his two catches. Mm-hmm. But one of them was good. One of them was a touchdown. You know, and that's what it took. It was a miracle to get him a touchdown because our offense was so terrible the entire game. High points, Penning looked good. He definitely bounced back, played a lot better in pass pro, and continued to just put people in the dirt on running plays. Ruiz did a bit of that. Cesar Ruiz had a few pancakes coming across, finishing blocks. And that was definitely one of the things about his game that he was not particularly good at. Is he didn't finish blocks. He wasn't mean. He didn't bring guys to the turf and go to the whistle. He was just kind of, you know, there. He was sealing edges, you know, and there's value to that. But you need to be an ass. You need to be a mean guy. You can't be a cuddly offensive lineman to get it done. And I think it's Jari Evans pitching in with the coaching staff and just bringing that kind of edge, because you've got a guy like Penning who's super aggressive, but now you're seeing guys like Ruiz who are not, you know, known for being aggressive. Now they're finishing blocks and looking nasty. And I think that's from the leadership. I think that's sprinkling a little bit of that Jari Evans magic. Now it's interesting. I expected Penning to play better this game, and I think didn't. Is that correct? Right?
Because I went and I made the beer bet that Penning would suck again. And you know, he got beat on like an outside move or whatever, speed rush, you know. But overall, I must say, I'm encouraged by the improvement. And so I will gladly take my loss on this one. And I will chug this beer because, you know, you were right. I was wrong. So there you go. Bottoms up.
Yay! Come on, chug, chug. You can do it, chug, chug. The whole damn beer, ladies and gentlemen.
Now.
Oh, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you right now. After that last one, I was worried about you, buddy. I'm very proud of you.
Paid off. I will say Ruiz. Looking pretty good, bro. But maybe we need to move him over to linebacker because he likes to tackle people.
He didn't. Right? He ran into him. He likes to tackle people. That happens to everybody. That was real. It was real funny in the moment. But I mean, if you're a running back and you're letting yourself get knocked over by your blockers, that's not on the blocker. Okay, that's on the least elusive running back in the history of running backs. What running back was that? Was that Zigbo? Yeah. It was Tony Jones.
He said he could have done a.
Jones, yeah, he's making the roster too.
Did a better job setting him up and stuff like that. He probably could have scored if he did that.
Oh, you think? You think he could have done a better job than running into his own guy and falling on his ass? You think he could have done that? How bold of him to say that!
But yeah, I'm glad you brought him up because, I mean, are we? I mean, is this real? Is this really who Tony Jones is? This game, or is this like a repeat?
Yeah, that's who we thought he was.
They are who we thought they were.
Look, we said that last year. I mean, the O-line was playing so bad that no one was going to do that. And yeah, sure, Kamara would get a couple of more yards per carry, but he's Alvin Kamara, and he's one of the best players in the world, regardless of position. So, I mean, you can say that he needs things to go well. He had a few good runs. He has good vision. He can hit the hole, you know. He's not terrible catching the ball out of the backfield. He's not elite in any one thing. And I think we're a little spoiled. A lot of our running backs, even our, you know, shot in the dark guys, the Chris Ivories of the world came in here and looked really good. So we're a little spoiled for running backs. In the Breeze era, everybody looked great because, you know, they had three guys in the box because they were so worried about Breeze. So, you know, now we're going from, you know, Mark Ingram, who does some things really well. Alvin Kamara, who's amazing at everything. I'm sure he's a good cook too. And then Tony Jones Jr. is okay. You know, he's fine, I guess. He's got to be able to play special teams and work on blitz pickups because he's just not a good enough pure runner to make the roster that way.
Yeah, you're right about that. But I'm still have flashbacks of last year where he looked good in preseason, and we really thought he was going to be an actual other guy that we could use at running back to spell Kamara and stuff. But yeah, I'm very concerned because you know fool me once, you know.
Fool me once. Shame on. Shame on you. It fooled me. We can't get fooled again.
I mean, long-time listeners of this show, before we were even on it, you know, on the BS and Beer show, we'll know that, you know, Tomas will pull out UDFAs that'll look great in preseason and camp and be like, oh, my gosh, this wide receiver, he's the truth, man. He's going to push Michael Thomas for the one spot, and he doesn't end up making the team or something. Like, see, the preseason and training camp, there's only so much you can glean from it. It's trying to put all your hope into what you're seeing right now. And this is me who really wants Ruiz to be a good player and predicted that he would turn a corner this year. You can't get excited about it from yet. He just hasn't done enough. Until the team gets back from the London game in week four, we're not going to know what this team is. We got three division games. A couple of them should be tough. Maybe, you know, it's early in the season, so McCaffrey won't be hurt yet. So Carolina will still be dangerous. Atlanta is there. They shouldn't be good, but they have pieces there that could scare you. Mariota's not as bad as everyone says he is. You know, Kyle Pitts is a matchup nightmare. They do have a bunch of LSU players on defense, you know.
NFL, man.
And again, the Buccaneers have definitely taken a step backwards, but they do have a good defense still. They do have a 95-year-old quarterback who knows how to do it. And the Vikings look pretty good. They've got a lot of weapons on offense right now, some of which went to LSU.
Justin Jefferson.
So I think I think if you're not 3-1 after the first four games, we're in trouble. I think if you're not 4-0 after the first four, then there's reason for concern. So these first four games are going to be really interesting.
Okay, lots of pressure there.
That's all a ton. And which is horrible because the Saints are traditionally a very slow starting team. But maybe that's a Sean Payton thing. That's not a Saints thing. Maybe that was just CSP.
It's all Sean Payton's fault.
But yeah, they really put all the pressure on us to start the year. If we start slow, it's bad. It's bad news.
So how do you feel about Ian Book overall? Has he done enough to keep that third job? And most importantly, you know, a roster spot, because these spots are variable.
So, oh man, yeah, that's tough. So I think that's a yes and no. I think that of the options available, he's your third quarterback, but I don't think he's done enough to carry him on the active roster. I think you got to try to stash him on practice squad or something, because he hasn't done enough to warrant that spot. You're not going to carry three quarterbacks when Dalton and Book aren't going to do anything for you in a week. You know, if you got a third quarterback on the roster, it's somebody like Taysom Hill who can actually do other things when he's not playing quarterback. So just Ian Book on your sideline does nothing for you. He's not going to pass on knowledge to Jameis. He's not going to help break down defenses. Dalton will. Dalton's a vet. Ian Book is Ian Book, you know? Without getting too much into the dad joke territory, man, return him to the library, bro. I've seen enough. Until he develops more, get him on the practice squad, get him more reps. But if he takes a snap in the season this year, I would be
willing to risk losing him by cutting him and expose him to another team.
Yes. And you see, I in the offseason, I defended him a little bit, that it wasn't a bad pick. You know, drafting a new quarterback wasn't necessarily an indictment on Book, but I don't see any progress from last year's preseason. And I'm not saying from last year's Miami game where he got beat up with no one around him, but he's not the things he was good at in college. He's not great at here, and he's bad at other aspects. He doesn't have a big arm. He's supposed to be that Breeze model who's accurate on the short throws, and he hasn't been that. And if you can't be great at that, then if you can't be great at the thing you're supposed to be good at and sacrifice those other aspects, then you're just not good enough.
You've got to be working on your short game. And
if that's your thing, if that's what you're good at, then you got to be freaking good at it. You can't just be okay at it, and because you don't have anything else to offer. He doesn't have the deep ball. He's not, you know, he's athletic, you know, but he's not a runner. He's not Lamar Jackson. If you're not going to be able to be accurate, then what do you have?
Exactly. So I'm with you. I'd go ahead and expose him. And if he's gone, he's gone. And then I'll bring somebody else in on practice squad to be my development quarterback. You know, that's exactly what I do.
Kind of feel like we should have gotten Malik Willis in the second round.
No, we did the right thing by not doing that.
he looks pretty fun in Tennessee,
fun
though.
Preseason's always fun.
Unless you're Ian Book.
Are you concerned about the defensive line? Because I've been concerned about them giving up rushing yards and like, why haven't we signed Malcolm Brown yet? Like, what the hell's going on?
I'm not concerned about the D-line because of the rushing yards. A lot of that is linebacker play, and DeMario Davis was not taking these useless reps. So I'm not worried about it because of the running. I'm worried about the lack of pass rush because I was really thinking about, you know, guys like Passanio and Turner being able to contribute, you know, Caden Ellis and all these guys. And I just, they're not doing that. So if you can't do it in the fourth quarter of a preseason game, you're not going to do it when we need a rotation in the, you know, third quarter of a tight game. It's just, if we're playing the Rams and we're down three and we got to keep them out of the red zone right here. You know, I don't trust any of these guys to have a push because they're not doing it now. You know, and Jordan's not playing, and Onyemata's not playing much, and Roach is, you know, apparently playing a little bit better. Tuttle is there. I mean, like, I'm not saying we're a bad D line, but I am a little discouraged by what I've seen so far. And it's preseason; you can't overreact. I led the show with that. You can't overreact.
But this is opportunity. And you're not going to get the opportunity when Cam and DeMario Davis are back out there, right? So this is your chance to make an opportunity and make the most of it. Make something happen.
Yep.
And I've seen.
Yeah, I don't think guys like Taco have done enough.
Yeah, I haven't really seen anything from the pass rush. I'm very disappointed in Peyton Turner. Like, he still has done nothing. I definitely want to see him play this last preseason game. Like, you need to play.
That's my biggest takeaway from the D-line, too, is that I really, you know, going into the season, we heard about how Turner has been turning it on in practice and how he's been, you know, relentless, and he's going to turn the corner and he's going to be a big asset. And then, you know, we put him in pads against other teams, and he doesn't show up. He washed out. I didn't even know he was playing in those fourth quarters until someone told me, because he wasn't flashing. He was doing anything.
Got a flash at least. At least got a flash.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Peyton Turner is making me nervous. So
you remember how I always talk about the whole small school thing, right? Peyton Turner from Houston. You know, that's.
I don't know if Houston's a small school.
It's not in a big time conference.
You mean, is Cal a small school?
Pac-12, yeah, it's fine.
Cam Jordan's from Cal.
School.
You want to talk about what college DeMario Davis went to?
Arkansas State. Yeah, the same kind of level. Yeah, same kind of level. I think is Houston. Yeah.
Wow, really? No,
I want to say that they're both crazy in what the AAC or something like that.
Okay, how about San Antonio? I don't know, the San Antonio State, what the hell? The Roadrunners that Two Firsts came from.
Oh, yes.
That's a small school.
Exactly.
And we talk about
this
is
a pattern, bro. This is a pattern.
The pattern that we draft guys from small schools.
Let's draft guys from LSU, please.
Or Oklahoma, or Ohio State, or Clemson, or Alabama twice and three times on Sunday.
Don't get me wrong. Sometimes it works, you know. You can strike gold, man. But you can't keep going to that same well, man, and expecting to strike gold. Like, we need to go to a real school and get guys, man. You know, let's stop going to these small schools.
Well, I mean, we drafted Ian Book from Notre Dame. That's a pretty big school.
Look.
Yeah.
I am not about that fourth round quarterback life. All right.
Is Purdue a big school?
Yeah, it's
Drew Brees went to Purdue.
Yeah, Big Ten. And anything within a major conference, I consider, you know, a big school.
You think Vanderbilt's a big school then?
Yeah, it's a major conference, but, you know, I get your point. But it is Vanderbilt.
Oh, Lord.
So if we get somebody from Vanderbilt and they suck, I'm like, why you draft somebody from Vanderbilt? You know.
Just moving the goalposts.
All right. Well, I don't know, man. I just think we need to do a better job with scouting that kind of talent. And and not try to be the smart guy in the room, and get the guys that, you know, comes from these small schools out of nowhere, and then have them turn into big, you know, big shots at the pro level.
Well, and I was going to say that that's a Sean Payton thing, but then we went Northern Iowa for our first round pick this year. So, and then we went to that tiny community college called Ohio State for our other first round pick. Yeah, nobody
knows. One other thing I definitely wanted to touch on, I know we talked about it a little bit earlier, but Kirk Merritt looked good in open field. When I was calling for, you know, somebody else dynamic to return kicks, like, this is what I had in mind. And, you know, he really proved me right. And now he's getting more of an opportunity to show what he can do. And I think it was him running in that open field. It was like, yo, he's looking like Ty Montgomery. Let me see what he could do at running back.
That's a guy I wish we still had in the building. Ty Montgomery
was doing pretty good in New England, right?
Yeah, he's fine. He's
always going to be a contributor up there.
That's the kind of offense that will use a guy like that. Yeah.
Yep. All right, man. So let's go with our player of the game, and I'm going to start off with Crawl. Because he caught a TD, so screw the refs. I don't care what the refs have to say about it. All right, he caught a touchdown.
Election denier.
He caught.
Careful, this conspiracy theory. We're gonna get taken off the airwaves right here. The FBI is gonna raid your place. Careful.
He caught a touchdown, man. I didn't see anything egregious, especially when compared to Rudolph's playoff touchdown.
Yeah, but you know how that goes.
So
you know how that goes.
If I remember correctly, though, you made a beer bet about Crawl scoring a touchdown.
Now, here's the deal. I disagree with the findings of this ruling because the call was called back. However, I'm a man. I'm 40.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
And if I got to drink a beer because of this this bet, I'm going to go ahead and drink two beers. Because again, I want to establish myself as a true sportsman and a good loser. So I would hate for you to feel like I was squelching on a bet and letting you down. So with the asterisk of I don't think I lost this bet, you were right. I was wrong. Bottoms up.
Yes. Chug. 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 This guy's an animal. That's a good job, bro. You definitely should, give lessons on chugging beer, bro, you know.
Man, I ain't going to name drop him on here. My best buddy back in California is undefeated in races chugging beers. I'm gonna get him on the show sometime. Just chug a beer.
All right.
I'm telling you, he's a legend. I'm not gonna name drop him without his permission, but he's a legend.
You have a player of the game, Craig.
Hell yeah, I do. Trevor Penning.
Can't argue.
My guy. My guy. He looked much better. He really did. And the thing about it was always, excuse me. We always were worried about pass blocking, right? So we're thinking, if he develops as a pass blocker, he's not going to be as aggressive in the run blocking because it's kind of a different skill set. You're more on the balls of your feet, backing up. You're not, you know, engaging and driving. And it's a different skill set. It really is. But no concern with that. He looked better in pass blocking. Yeah. He still looked dominant in the run game. You know how hard it is to be a dominant run blocker as a rookie? He's blocking guys that have been in NFL weight rooms for years, and he's coming from some, you know, JC in Northern Iowa, and he's mauling
people.
It's
usually the other way around, right?
That is potential. It is usually the other way around.
So many spread offenses, man, and everything. You're used to pass blocking all the time and not exploding off the ball for the run. So, yeah, that's pretty good.
And I would say, generally speaking, it might be easier. I'm going to get myself in trouble here. It might be easier to be a great pass blocker than it is to be a great run blocker. And to be a great – yeah, I think pass blocking can be more finesse, where run blocking, it requires a level of physicality and a mindset, and it still requires all the footwork and timing and everything like that. So I think there might be more to it. I know that might just be me, you know, as in my own personal experience. Well, don't quote me on that. But the fact that he's getting better at it, I mean, I'm happy with it.
Several offensive linemen in the NFL talk about, you know, their body hurting a little bit more because they ran block so much, the previous day.
It is definitely a more demanding thing, yeah. I mean, think about it. If you've ever pushed a sled as part of your, say you do CrossFit or whatever, and you're pushing a sled, that's engaging ton of muscles that when you're, basically these defensive linemen don't want to touch you because as soon as you get your hands on them, you've got the advantage. So you're as much doing a mirror drill, trying to be quick and stay on your toes as you are actually pushing anybody on pass blocking. Okay.
All right, let's get to our worst player of the game. Sponsored by Dave's Loud Ass Truck. And my worst player of the game is going to have to be Book because, look, man, I watched the whole game. It was boring. It was terrible. I blame it on him. Sling it better and you make it more interesting. I'll get more enthusiastic about the game and everything. It's all your fault, bro.
That's brutal. That's a little harsh. Mine isn't the worst player in the game. There were a lot of players that played worse than this guy. But I'm just the most disappointed in Peyton Turner. It's just, I had so much hope for him, and I put so many eggs in that basket. Yeah. You know, I've been talking about him for a while, and man, he's just not showing up. I didn't know he was playing until someone like pointed out, like, "Oh, that's Peyton Turner. He's still in there."
Yeah.
It's just that's not what you want to see. You want flash. You know, you don't have to get a sack every play, but you need to push the pocket. You need to be able to disrupt something. Yes, just present.
Just flash.
And it's making me nervous. I don't think it means that he's not going to be a good player. He could, but it's not a great start.
Yeah, it was. It's year two. He had a lot of off time the previous season. I mean, you just hope that he was learning things from the vets, and he's always in Cam Jordan's pocket trying to learn everything possible. Like, that's what I'm hoping from him. And
here's a question. Do you think it's more likely that they drafted Peyton Turner to be the successor to Cam Jordan in his retirement, or was it to replace Marcus Davenport when his contract comes up this year?
I think it was to replace Cam Jordan because, I think he's on borrowed time already, honestly. Like
So you think that we're going to re-sign to first?
It's really going to depend on how many games he plays this year.
Yeah.
I can't see them doing it if he only plays 6 games. Like, don't get me wrong.
Imagine in his contract year is the 1 year he plays every game.
Well, yeah.
I'd be pissed.
Yeah.
I'd be so pissed.
If any time you're going to be motivated to play, it's going to be this year, bro.
Does that make you a little frustrated about the games he missed and if all of a sudden he can soldier through in his contract year?
I mean,
make you a little concerned maybe about the mindset, if not the body.
I'll take it if he produces and he's worth the money. I will take it and gladly roll with it, and we just figure out what we're gonna do next year with the cap. But yeah, man, I think the Saints are playing it the right way with them giving him the fifth year option. And we're going to see what he's going to do. Like, he has to be motivated to play actual games this season.
And then we just get him 1 year contracts forever until he dies.
Yeah, right.
They're going to go for it here on fourth down.
Saints versus Chargers Friday night, the final preseason game. Craig, I am hearing that some starters might play in this game.
I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. Sit them down, wrap them in bubble wrap. I'm done with it.
I mean,
no. Now,
keep in mind, this report does come from Jeff Duncan.
Oh, no, I'm not worried then. Okay, yeah, no one's playing. What are we doing? You had me worried for a moment.
I mean,
well, go ahead and tell me CNN reported it. I thought it was saying. Are we sure that Duncan doesn't work for CNN?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, see, I'm losing those listeners right now.
We apologize to all of our listeners who enjoy.
I apologize for nothing. I apologize for nothing. The FBI will raid my place later.
Well, what are you looking to see in this game, and who are you looking to see it from? Definitely for me, Peyton Turner needs to show up and do something.
What?
That's exactly what I want to say. Pass rush and Peyton freaking Turner. He's got to do something. He's got
to. You have to do something, bro.
I mean, all right, all right. So my answer is usually always O-line depth, and it is again because our backup O-linemen have been terrible, and Hurst is still injured. Well, he's in a boot today, so he's probably not going to play on Friday. So, you know, Penning's going to get a lot of work again, you know. I want to see how he does his continued development, maybe on a pitch count, though, because, again, with Hurst hurt, you're looking at him having to start week one.
You might.
So maybe don't leave him out there too long. But, you know, you gotta see the bottom of the roster linemen. I want to see how maybe Nick Martin – I want to see how Throckmorton play, you know, the guys that are next in line if something goes sideways. But, man, it's that pass rush. I got to see Peyton Turner do something. This defense is a pass rush away from being the best in football. And now I'm concerned about a pass rush. And we've seen how quickly a bad pass rush can ruin a good secondary.
That's true. Well, this is going to be the final preseason game. So this is going to be the final final show before we reveal our who won the underdog dark horse competition. We need to talk about our 53, and maybe we'll come up with something like that pretty soon. It's happening. It's moving fast. The season is coming upon us really quickly, but football as a whole is here. Everybody enjoy it.
I'm feeling good right now. I know that I just said a bunch of things I was worried about, but I'm feeling pretty good about this team overall. I'd like to
do that too. Okay, so let's do that.
And then just we'll make an obscene amount of prop bets and beer bets, and we'll make excuses for us to imbibe heavily.
Maybe we do a big show with everybody, and we can get everybody on record and get this thing going.
They don't want to hang out with us. Come on.
Message to Dave.
Us lovable drunks.
Message to Dave. There you go. All right.
Don't forget to tune into our Frenemies podcast. That is the fantasy football show on this channel. They understand that weird Wizards and Dragons, but I don't. So give them a listen. They'll break it down for you. They'll help you win your league and make fun of your neighbor.
Oh, man. Yep, that's what the fantasy show is all about, man. Dragons and dungeons and witches and all that kind of stuff, bro. So go ahead and tune in.
Middle Earth and Harry Potter. Yeah, that's how I understand it, right? I swear, this guy's trying to drag me into a fantasy football league, and I'm kicking and screaming.
Yeah, you're going to do it. We're going to do a draft coming up on the 28th, something like that. And we're going to try to do a show, try to piece together a show on that. We'll see what's going to happen with that, but...
Anyone who wants to predict how badly I'll beat Dale in this terrible game that I hate, you go ahead and drop your predictions down below.
Well, it must be that curse of Craig that's going to visit my team if you're going
to
beat me.
Careful. You're going to go to pick somebody and your finger's going to break.
Terrible, man. All right. Well, that'll wrap it up for us on the beer run.
Man, this is fun. This is all I have for this week, but... you know, we know you have a choice in podcasts. We're amazed you picked us, but, you know, we're thankful for it. For my co-host, Lil Dice, for Dave's loud-ass truck and the whole BS and Beer family, I'm the California Cajun. Have a beer. It's on me.
Remember to follow us on Twitter and Facebook at BS and Beer Media. Or if you're old and want to write a strongly written letter, email us, bsandbeer@icloud.com. Walk by the 11, 12, 13. East side soldier, press ball.